They took up stones, therefore, to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We start today the holy season of Passion Tide. All the images and statues are covered, because during these 2 weeks we put all our attention in the suffering and death of Jesus. The purple veils also remind us how he had to hide from his enemies who plotted to kill him. Our Lord had to go through many horrible sufferings and trials during his time of passion and death. But one of the hardest trials during this time was to see one of his own, namely Judas, to betray him. The chief priests had already resolved to kill Jesus, and now Judas offered to betray him into their hands. The high priests did not dare to seize our Lord openly, because they feared that the people would rise and defend him. The longed-for opportunity was given to them by Judas when he himself came to them and asked, "What will you give me, and I will deliver him to you?" So, as the reward, the priests promised to give him 30 pieces of silver. In the book of Exodus, this sum, 30 pieces of silver, was the price given for a slave who had been killed. So the chief priests fixed on this sum to show their contempt for Jesus, whom they professed to esteem of no greater value than a slave. And for this lousy sum, Judas consented to betray his master. When Jesus was starting his passion in the Garden of Gethsemane, Judas came as the leader of the pack to seize him. The troops consisted of the temple guard and the armed servants of the high priest and the Sanhedrin. The traitor then gave them a sign, saying, "Whomsoever I shall kiss, that is he. Hold him fast." As soon as Judas saw Jesus, he approached him, saying, "Hail, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus then said to him, "Friend, whereto art thou come?" "Judas, dost thou betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" Notice that a kiss is the token of love and fidelity. But Judas made use of it for purposes of betrayal. And still, Jesus showed nothing but charity to him. He did not refuse this treacherous kiss. Instead, he suffered his holy face to be touched by the lips of this vile traitor, and he even called him friend. Jesus made it clear that he still loved him, despite his vile crime. Our Lord was ready to forgive Judas even now, if he only would repent. But Judas resisted this last grace and remained hardened and unmoved. As much as we, who strive to be faithful followers of Jesus, should love him because he suffered for us, we also must stay far away from sin, which made him suffer so much. Because it is by sin by which we betray our Lord. Imagine our Blessed Lord had given Judas so many graces. He had chosen him to be an apostle. He had let him witness his miracles and the holiness of his life. He had taught him his divine doctrine. He had borne with him patiently and warmed him lovingly, had washed his feet and given him his own body and blood to be his food. And still Judas repaid his master's love with the basest treachery, placed himself at the head of his enemies, feigned friendship with him, called him master, and betrayed him with a kiss. There was no real remorse in Judas. After his betrayal, he did begin to be sorry for having betrayed Jesus. But this was not the supernatural sorrow for sin, merely pitying himself. Going to the chief priests, Judas wanted to give back the 30 pieces of silver he had received as the price of his treason, and he said, "I have sinned in betraying innocent blood." But they replied, "What is that to us? Look thou to it." Then, being filled with guilt and losing all hope, Judas cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and went and did away with himself. Notice what a miserable end sin has. The rewarders of Judas, they didn't even accept back the blood money, because to do so would have been a tacit confession of the crime they had done, and nothing would have persuaded them to set Jesus free. Judas might have been forgiven even then, had he had a good disposition. What was it that he lacked? The sorrow of Judas was lacking hope. Such a sorrow does not lead back to God, but rather leads to despair and to an eternal separation from God. The sin in betraying our Lord was a terribly grievous one, and still, the worst sin Judas committed was that of despairing of the grace and mercy of God. The voice of his conscience made itself heard, and it reproached him with being guilty of the death of his master. The 30 pieces of silver for which Judas had so eagerly craved no longer gave him any pleasure. They burned his fingers and constantly reminded him of his terrible crime. In the hope of obtaining peace of mind, Judas decided to return the money to those from whom he had received it, and by openly confessing his guilt, he hoped to get the sentence of death against our Lord repealed. But the mere confession of his sin, it availed him nothing. If full of confidence in his Savior, the God of love and mercy, Judas had thrown himself at his feet, confessed his guilt to him, and implored his forgiveness, he would most surely have obtained it. But as it was, in his despair of God's mercy, Judas sought for consolation from men and confessed his guilt merely to the members of the Sanhedrin. When they rejected him with contempt and laid all the responsibility on him, the last comfort of Judas was torn from him, and the burden of his guilty life was so heavy that he had not the courage to bear it any longer. This is truly the fate of anyone who despairs of God's mercy and does not trust to his forgiveness. Notice that sin bears two aspects. Before sin is committed, it seems so tempting and pleasant, so the sinner hardly fears it at all, and even expects to be made happy by it. But hardly is the sin committed than it shows its true colors, which are hideous and horrible. Once a sinner has gratified his desire, he finds out that far from being the happier for it, he is robbed of all joy of heart and peace of conscience. We too, we have in our lives denied Jesus, at least in deed, if not in word. Whenever we sin willfully, we act as if we were not disciples of Jesus Christ and know nothing of his love and holiness, and as if we had never promised fidelity to him. So therefore, in this Passiontide, think and contemplate with deep emotion of heart how during those long hours our Savior was the laughingstock of the evil men, and how he was ill-treated, scoffed at, and loaded with ignominy. Do not forget that he who carried all this for love of you, he was not a prophet or preacher or a mere good man. He was the incarnate Son of God, your Savior and Redeemer. During this Passiontide, have a deep feeling of compassion for your despised Lord, and promise him that you will always love him and will never break his holy commandments. And if it is ever your misfortune to commit a mortal sin, do not follow the example of Judas, who lived in a state of sin till he became hardened in it. Instead, follow the example of Peter, who immediately repented and was converted for good, as every true, faithful, and loving disciple of Jesus is. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.